You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Sad news today. Musical legend Prince has died at the age of 57. We'll talk to a pop culture expert about his musical and cultural legacy. It's coming up.
First, we continue our coverage of the new Spring 2016 Wisconsin Survey, out this week from WPR, WPT, and St. Norbert College.
In the midst of what people are calling an anti-establishment mood in the presidential primaries, Wisconsinites weighed in on the direction of the country as a whole and how they felt about federal government leadership. Big picture, there's pessimism about the direction of the country, but a slight increase in President Obama's approval rating.
Susan Johnson joins us now. She's Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater and Director of UW-Whitewater's Center for Political Science and Public Policy Research. Susan, thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be here, Rob.
Well, in the new survey, Susan, the majority of registered voters polled, 63% said the country is headed in the wrong direction. Only 29% said the right direction. Now, that's not the worst we've seen in this poll. At the start of the Great Recession, only 8% of us thought the country was headed in the right direction. But this number still seems pretty low. Do you think this reflects wider concerns about where the country's going?
Absolutely. And I was looking at some national numbers to see whether Wisconsin was an outlier or not. And Wisconsin is pretty much right in line with what the national average is for people saying that just about two-thirds or so of people saying that the country is going in the wrong direction. And I think that that's definitely part of what you alluded to in the introduction about the anti-establishment things that we're seeing in the election and some of the dissatisfaction that people are showing with what we might want to call career politicians or people who are within the system, definitely. And that's part of the reason why people want to shake things up.
Well, there's a chicken or egg question here, I guess. Are people like Donald Trump on the Republican side, Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side, outperforming initial expectations because there's this mood out there in the country? Or are the messages we're hearing from politicians making people think along these lines, along these sort of anti-establishment ways, worried ways?
Well, I think if you go back and look at our presidential election cycles, we see that a lot of candidates grab onto this idea of change and bringing a fresh vision to the national government, and even at the state level, we see that. So I think that you're right in the sense I'm not really sure which is the chicken and which is the egg, but I do know that this reappears pretty much every 4 years as we go through these presidential elections.
Is there anything about the state of the United States now that makes this a particularly uncertain or worrisome time for the public at large, either with the economy or foreign affairs?
There's nothing I can point to specifically. I mean, you alluded to in fall 2008, when that number was down at 8% and the country was in the throes of this recession, the economy has come back for the most part, although it's important to note that in certain pockets, and I would argue that in the upper Midwest, like Wisconsin, where we took such a hit with manufacturing job loss, for example, that the economy hasn't come back for everyone. So that certainly is going to feed some of those ideas. The overall national security questions about terrorism, the increase in terrorist attacks in Europe, I think make Americans feel that maybe we may see more terrorism in the United States. So I think that there's not one thing that I can point to, but I can see that there are things that would be unsettling for people.
We also asked if people would trusted government leaders in Washington, D.C. to do what is right. And here are the responses. Only 9% of people said always or most of the time leaders in D.C. would do the right thing. 20% said never. Never would they do the right thing. And 70%, not quite as pessimistic, we said, yeah, only sometimes. Does this reflect, again, wider national trends of a lack of faith, a distrust in government?
It does. I did look this number up as well, just to get a sense of where we were nationally. And in Wisconsin, we are less trusting of the government. So the nationwide average was just under 20% of people who said always or most of the time, whereas in Wisconsin, that was only 9%. And then I looked back historically, and in the mid-1960s, it was 70% of the public who said always or most of the time, you can trust your government leaders in Washington, D.C. So we've seen a precipitous drop, but it's been a pretty constant drop from the 60s when we first started asking these questions to where we are today.
A lot of people point toward the Vietnam War and Watergate as the beginning of this lack of trust in government in the modern era, but we've gotten even lower since then?
We have, yes, and you're right. There was a dip that began at that point, but it's been continually going down. There was a spike after the 2001, after September 11th, and that's not uncommon when that sort of thing happens, that went up, actually, but then it's been going down again.
Talking to Susan Johnson from UW-Whitewater, Wisconsin survey results, asking, do we have faith in our national government? Do we trust it to do the right thing? You can join in, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Do you think our federal government gets it right most of the time, none of the time, somewhere in between, and why? 800-642-1234. Susan, what would it take to see that number start arcing up again for people to say, yeah, I do trust the federal government most of the time?
Well, I think a couple things, but I think one of them would be a change in the rhetoric of the people who are running the government. I mean, a lot of what we hear about why government is such a problem and not to be trusted comes from the people who are actually representing us in Washington. And so if you go back and you look at some of the comments that I'm speaking, particularly in this instance, mainly about people on the Republican side, but even on the Democratic side, when you're talking about what change we need, there's this general sense that it's popular with voters to attack Washington, and because it's this faraway place, and it's very easy for a local member of Congress to come home and be highly critical of Washington and still want to garner favor with her or his supporters. So I think that part of the problem is that the people who are actually in government are big offenders. I think the media, cable news, and the increase in that, the constant barrage of coverage of negativity and bad news, and in terms of government, I think that helps feed it as well.
Well, I want to attach a few names to it, as we did in the survey. We asked, as we do, for approval ratings for some key leaders, including President Obama. His approval rating this time around, 53% approve, 45% disapprove, and he's creeped up just a little bit. I don't know if it's even a statistically significant amount over the last couple times. What do you make of that approval rating?
As I look back at your results, it looks like in fall of 2013, he was at a low point of about 44%, and then he's creeped up a few percentage points every time you've done the survey. And so now we're at 53%. Nationally, he's at about 48%, so Wisconsin's a bit higher. I think that my hunch is that part of that comes from the presidential campaign going on around him. And we've spoken a lot about perhaps some of the childish behavior in the nomination process, and I think that that reflects poorly on those people, but I think it also has people rethink their perceptions of the president. And so some of those people who may have not necessarily said that they approved of his job performance now are maybe looking at him in a different light, given some of the other alternatives. But you're right, it's not that much of a difference.
Let's take a caller now. Paul is with us in Green Bay. Paul, hi.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What do you think?
Good topic. You know, I know you're talking about the Fed, but I think for the state of Wisconsin, one of the reasons why people might have a pessimism is that, you know, the governor that we have now came in and enacted Act 10, which, correct me if I'm wrong, no one even knew anything about his intentions. And so he basically went rogue and is just kind of doing whatever he wanted once he got into office. And I think that can naturally spill over into people's opinions about all government.
Paul, thanks for the call. Definitely a lot of people had strong opinions either way, Susan, about Governor Walker. But in the public's mind, do you think people carefully compartmentalize, this is what I think of state government and maybe local, and this over here is what I think of federal government? Or do we tend to lump government all in one package?
You know, I think that sometimes people are a bit more discreet in their analyses, and they do look at what's going on nationally versus what's going on at the state level. So I think that there is perhaps something to be said for that, but then there's others who it's just government.
Thanks a lot for the call, Paul. I will go next to Randy in La Crosse. Randy, hi.
Hi. Well, I would say I don't currently think that they make the right decisions. I think that, you know, because of things like Citizens United, they're spending too much time raising money for the next, you know, election. Everybody's so ideologically one-sided.
Randy, thanks a lot for the call. Not too much time left, but Susan, this is something we hear a lot, that because of campaign finance and changes like Citizens United, this is on the presidential trail, the idea that politicians are bought and paid for. A common theme, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I think if you spoke to most politicians, they prefer to not be doing as much fundraising as they are, but it's just the nature of the beast right now and the environment that we're in that they have to spend a lot of time doing that.
As we wrap up, Susan, Senator Ron Johnson, a 42% approval. Senator Tammy Baldwin, a little higher at 47%. Ron Johnson, of course, coming into a contentious Senate race. Your thoughts on what people think of our U.S. senators?
Well, I think in general, again, if we think nationally, those numbers are pretty similar. What's interesting to me is that in a state like Wisconsin, it's so divided, and you've got the Democratic senator and the Republican senator having similar approval ratings, and that just, again, speaks to me of the split that we are currently witnessing in Wisconsin.
And, Susan, 1 in 5 people don't have an opinion about either of them.
I find that amazing. I mean, I just, when I look at those numbers of no opinion or never heard of, that means we need to do a better job, I think, in our education system of more time spent on civic education.
We'll leave it there for now. Susan, as always, thanks for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Been talking to Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater. By the way, you can find the full results of the Wisconsin survey at WPR.org or find a link at the Central Time Facebook page.